stand before you for just a little while. I want to call your attention to some scripture that's found in Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Well, as his first epistle as we know it in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or chapter 11 rather, beginning with verse 23, I want to read some things that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth concerning the ordinance that we are going to observe today. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I'm going to stop reading there with verse 30. I want to make this one comment here about concerning these verses before I go on. We need to understand that what Paul wrote here to the Corinthians and what we have recorded in the 29th verse, when he spoke about those who would eat and drink and observe this ordinance unworthily, we need to remember that that's a verb that is in an unworthy manner, in an unworthy way, because truly there's not any of us that are worthy of the body and the blood of the Lord. There's not any of us that are actually worthy of what he did for us. But I'm thankful that God is merciful and that he's willing to save. And I want to speak, as I said, a little while about the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. You may or may not have noticed, but what the Apostle Paul said here when he spoke about how the very night, Paul said, that the Lord was betrayed, he had instituted the ordinance. He had taken bread, and he had given thanks, and he had broke it, and he said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the gospel accounts, the only one that actually recorded it that way was Luke. Matthew and Mark didn't actually make reference to that part of the Lord speaking about this being done in remembrance as a memorial. Luke recorded it in that way, and Paul received this directly from the Lord. He said Paul received things by direct revelation from the Lord, and he said that he had received of the Lord how that when this was done, that it was to be done in remembrance of him. And that's where our hearts and minds ought to be today. This is a service, as I said, that the Lord Jesus instituted while he was on earth and left it to his church and to his church alone. The Lord never left this ordinance to be observed by any group of people other than his church. He left it to the church to observe this throughout the generations of time. And we find an account there in the 26th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. It tells us how that they came together to observe the Jewish ordinance of the Passover. And as they were observing that, as they were eating, the Lord took the bread and he instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now, it is a memorial. It is something that we are to do to remember him. But it's also spoken of as something that we are to do to remember him in a very distinct way. We are to remember in this ordinance what that he did for us, how that he paid the price. And, you know, those of us who are saved, and Brother Jackson alluded to this in his testimony, but those of us who are saved, we are a blood-bought people. The Bible teaches us that we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us to be able to have salvation. In fact, he suffered more than anybody has ever suffered in order for us to be able to be saved. And you know, it's only fitting that we, when we speak about salvation and when people tell their experience of salvation and we hear it related to about being feeling convicted of their sin and feeling condemned and having fear, we read about things like what David said in the 116th Psalm about how that in his lost condition that the sorrows of death compassed him and the pains of hell got hold upon him. And I'll tell you what, in a true conversion, those things exist. That pain and that awful feeling of being lost, but it's only proper that we go through those things in order to be saved, isn't it? Because the Lord suffered much pain in order to make a way for us to be saved. And so we are, today we are doing something that symbolizes his death there on the cross. And I say symbolizes because I believe that's right. This is not, I do not believe the teaching that when we observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, that the bread and the body become the literal body, and or the bread and the cup, rather, become the literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he left us these things to symbolize what he did for us at Calvary. And we read about how that there in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, how that his sufferings would be, or how that the Savior that would come would be a Savior that would go through many things and suffer many things. And I want to turn to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah and look at some of that here for just a moment. Isaiah prophesied many years, I suppose 700 to 800 years or so before Christ came into the world. He prophesied of his suffering, and he said that he would be despised and rejected of men, that he would be a man of sorrows, that he would be acquainted with grief, and that we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now listen to what Isaiah prophesied here in the fifth verse. It said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So he was wounded, he was bruised, and he received stripes. Isaiah, again, prophesying about the coming Messiah. And truly, anybody in that day, anybody that had access to the Old Testament scriptures should have been anticipating a suffering Messiah. Many of them weren't. In fact, when Jesus came the way that he did, there were many of them that refused to receive him and refused to believe that he was the Messiah. There were many when Jesus was crucified, there were many that just refused to believe that that would be the end of the Messiah, but they should have been anticipating one that would come and suffer for sin because it was well spoken of in the scriptures that he would be wounded, that he would be bruised, and that he would receive stripes, and that by his stripes we could be healed. His life for mine. There's a song that I love to hear. His life for mine. And that's essentially for each of us what it was, wasn't it? His life for ours. He gave his life for us. He suffered death for us. As the Hebrew writer said, by the grace of God, he suffered death for every man. He suffered death. And, we know from even from what we read in the scriptures, but you can read about it in history, in written history as well. We know that Jesus was not the only one that suffered death by crucifixion. We read in the scriptures about how that when he was crucified, that there was two criminals and they were crucified on each side of him. But the crucifixion of Jesus was like no other. And even from what the scriptures tell us, and if you look at the towards the end of the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, you'll see that even his physical appearance was much worse than anybody's had ever been. Isaiah said his visage or his countenance was more marred than anybody else's. And so he, even his physical appearance was much worse than anyone's had ever been. But the greatest distinction is that he was the only one. He was the only one that could go to the cross and die for our sins. There was nobody else that could do that because everybody else was of the seed of Adam and would not have been able to do that. But he was special indeed, and his crucifixion had that distinction that when he died, that he took upon himself our sins. We need to remember that. We need to focus on that. Every time that we observe this ordinance, we need to focus on what he went through. You know, listen, folks, the plan of salvation didn't come easy. It did not come easy. And so it was instituted in this way, that the bread and the cup would symbolize his broken body and his shed blood for our sins. Aren't you glad that Jesus was willing to do that? That he was willing to be tortured? That he was willing to be broken? That he was willing to shed his life's blood, give up his very life in order for us to be saved? We do this today in observance of that. But we know that his physical pain and the physical things that he suffered and the physical appearance and these things that he went through with his crucifixion, we know that they were not the hardest thing that he faced. It was taking upon himself our sin. He took upon him the sin of the whole world and died in our place. Now, I thought about this in my studies. The Lord, when he instituted this ordinance there with the 11 present, he said to them that every time they did this, that they were to do it in remembrance of him. I don't know how long it was, to be honest with you. Maybe there's something written about it. Maybe there's something said about it. I don't know. But I don't know how long it was after that the Lord instituted the ordinance and then he went to the cross after he died and everything was said and done. I don't really know how long it was before the church at Jerusalem there observed the ordinance for the first time. Probably not very long. We know from what we read in the scriptures that they were seeing to it there at the church at Corinth, and so it wasn't that many years. We know that for certain until the Lord's church began to do what he had told them to do and observe this ordinance. But those that were present there when he actually instituted the ordinance, perhaps they were able to observe that to where they actually could physically remember him when he was with them. But you and I today, we've not yet seen him, have we? But isn't it amazing that his church, if I asked Brother Lowe today to remember something that happened long before he was ever born, well, that'd be quite a challenge, wouldn't it? I mean, you'd say, do you remember this? Well, no, I don't remember it. I wasn't there. But the Lord established something. He established an ordinance. He established it in gospel form, in symbolic form, where his church could remember from generation to generation to generation until he splits the sky and comes for us. He made a way that we could remember what he did for us. And I'll tell you what, the symbolism, as far as I'm concerned, the symbolism that exists in the two ordinances that the Lord left his church, in the Lord's Supper and baptism, could have only been designed in the brilliant mind of the Lord. Nobody else would have ever come up with such a thing as that. He took the most simple elements and he made a way through those two ordinances that we could remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. They're gospel ordinances. and he made a way with the ordinance of the Lord's Supper for us to be able, each time that we observe it, to do it in remembrance of his broken body and his shed blood there at Calvary and what he did for us. Paul said, ye know the grace. He wrote this to the Corinthians. He said, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. I don't believe we can even imagine how the Lord had to condescend to do what he did for us. But we have been given a beautiful ordinance whereby we can remember it. And Paul said that every time that we do this, every time the Lord's church does this, that we show his death. We show his death until he comes. That is, we proclaim his death from time to time until he comes. So we're going to get ready here to observe the ordinance. I would like to ask our deacon brothers if they would to come at this time.